All right, folks, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to read one verse there and then one in chapter 10. So Roger let me know Friday afternoon that he was going to be out of town, and I said, that's okay. We can certainly find something to share from God's Word because it's God's Word, and there's always plenty to share from it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and look at verse 12. It says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then in chapter 10 and in verse 2, it says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? The title this morning is Where to Draw the Line in the New Year. I will strive to make this more Sunday school-like and try to get input and feedback from you. But forgive me if I get preachy. Actually, don't forgive me. It just is what it is, right, Keith? Just deal with it? Okay. All right. But let's just start foundationally for a moment in that the new birth makes all things new. You think of new things, right? This is New Year's Eve. All right, tomorrow is New Year's Day. What's one of the things that many people do for New Year's? What's that? They party, they eat a lot of food, okay. Go out. Resolutions, all right. You see, they're Baptists, they went instantly with food. Nothing wrong with that. I don't go out, I'll tell you right now. But make resolutions, right? Why do you think that's such a popular thing to do? Or what's the reason behind it? Kind of a mentality, if you will. Traditional, yeah. Try to better yourself. Laurie? New year, new start, better yourself. I heard you say lose weight. That's just mean. This is Sunday. No, I'm just teasing. Yeah, and there's lots of reasons. And truthfully, many people do it for many different reasons. I think sometimes some people do it because it is a tradition for them. And I'll say this, there's nothing wrong with doing that. But here's the issue, is how many times do we stick to those resolutions? Right? How many times do we continue on or move forward? And I'll say this, folks, if you make one, fine. If you don't, fine. I'm not here to give input on that. But I'll say this, if there's something we need to change in our life, in our relationship with Christ, that's something we need not only make a resolution for, but it's something we need to be determined to do. But the new birth, you think about this is a good time to become aware sometimes of even personal sin. Right? So how do we do that? How do we make a resolution for our Christian walk? Well, we need to be aware of our personal sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, probably everybody in this room has heard that verse hundreds or even thousands of times. But let me ask this question this way. Why is it important that we remember that verse? And there's many reasons why, but for a Christian who's trying to grow, trying to walk, why is it important we remember that verse? Yeah. So why? Because we are a sinner. That's exactly it. Just because if we're saved and Christ has forgiven us of our sin, it doesn't mean we still don't sin. Now, Christ has already forgiven that sin, but we need reminded that, listen, even when we sin after salvation, it's still sin. And while that doesn't take away our salvation or take us from the hand of God, what it can do is it can hinder our walk with Him. If we're living in known sin, it's going to hinder our walk with Him. That's why we need to remember that we are sinners. It's also a good time to remember and to believe that God loves us. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, or He gives His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. These are verses that even though we know them, we need to keep them in mind. We need to remember what they're all about and why God gave them to us and never take them for granted. It's also a good time to respond to the love that love by receiving Christ as our Savior. If someone hasn't accepted Christ, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I don't know about you, but sometimes I just love reading through these verses. And while they're ones I know, they're ones I've known from a young child, it's good for us to remember them and be thankful for them, to be thankful for the truth of God's word, to be thankful for the fact that we know and who Jesus is, the fact that we are saved and what he did for us. That should bring joy to our hearts. That should bring a sense of praise to our life. But let's kind of get back to where we were at previously here. But where does this lead us? How do I please the Lord in daily living? Where shall I draw the line on questionable activities? And that's really what I want to challenge us with this morning, is where do I draw the line on questionable activities, right, as a Christian? And here's why. Let me just set the foundation for a moment as far as why we share this type of a message this morning. Because as a Christian, we live oftentimes like, well, I'm saved, and we treat it like fire insurance, right? Have you ever heard anyone say that other than me? A few of you? Okay, good. Because it's not original to me, right? But we live like we're living with fire insurance, keeping us out of hell, and that means we can do whatever we want and live however we want, but that's not what God's word tells us. So where do I draw the line? We need to draw the line on anything that is not expedient. Anything that's not expedient. You say, I'll get there in a second. I'll be nice for a moment. Look back at verse 12. And all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul reminds us that the Christian life is a new life, that we have new life in Christ. Let me ask you the question, what does that mean for you? To have new life in Christ, if someone says that to you, or someone asks about it from your life, how would you explain that? Robbie?
I believe that you're
suddenly
very aware of sin all around.
Yeah. You get more wisdom. Yeah. Being aware of sin? Understanding what it is? Our walk with him. And you have, yes.
That God has given us the ability to choose the good or bad.
Yeah.
And it has awakened me to just to be more aware of what these choices are and probably to want to support my notes that I'm going to try to make the right choice.
Absolutely. To understand who we are in Christ. That phrase new life, or and there's other verbiage behind this sometimes in Scripture, but he reminds us that the Christian life is a new life. In verse 11 it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." To understand that we are a new creature in Christ. That the old things, and when it says the old things, that's the old sinful lifestyle, all right? That old man, that old nature are passed away, and then it says, behold, all things are become new. Now, let me just segue just for a moment. For those who have kids or grandkids, have you ever taught them something you think, they just never get it, do they? You understand? If you're smiling or laughing, you get it. And something, and this is a pet peeve of mine, this is something that I was taught several years ago, probably 15 years ago, was I never cared for, and listen, if you do this or your family does this, I'm not condemning you, I'm not trying to pick on you, I don't know about it, so therefore it has nothing to do with you. But I don't like it when kids or grandkids call their parents or their father or their grandfather or someone like that an old man. Why? Because you read what the Bible says about being an old man. It's not good, right? It's that old sinful nature. And I've told my kids this. I've tried to teach the boys this. And you know, hey, listen, you can, and we tease a lot. All right. If you've been around my family, we do. We have a good time. Yesterday, we went out and had a activity. It was a guy activity, and we were shooting skeet, and we just had fun. And we picked on each other a lot. All right. And those things are fine. But I made this comment, and I just did it off the cuff. And I said, what, you just want to try to beat up on your old man, huh? And one of the boys said this. He said, but I thought you didn't like us calling you that. I'm like, oh, all right. They're getting something here. That has very little to do with this, but it has a lot to do with this, right? But as a Christian, when we've accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we're a new creature in Christ. It's more than just, flipping a switch and magically the Holy Spirit comes in and everything's hunky-dory, right? It's more than that. It's a change in lifestyle. It's a change in thought, in mind, in heart. It needs to change who we are as a person because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Larry. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You must be born again, right? And that goes right along with that mentality, being born again, being a new creature in Christ. The old things are passed away, becoming that new man, that new person in Jesus Christ. And he says, and such were some of you. And then he says, washed, set apart, made just in God's sight. You see, all things are not. In other words, it's not saved by the keeping of the law. We have to remember the context and who this was written to, and so much of the church was still battling between the Old Testament law, Judaism, that Old Testament rule, and understanding what grace meant for them. And there was still this kind of internal struggle and external struggle for many during this time. But they were washed. They were set apart. All things are not. In other words, they're not saved by the keeping of the law. Scripture tells us if you keep the whole law, but you offend even in just one thing, you're not saved. Right? Why? Because the law cannot save. The purpose of the law was to point people towards Christ, to point people towards the Messiah. And then it says, all things are not expedient. What's a simple way of explaining the word expedient? It is a simple word. I think we just, I don't know. I get intimidated by some of those words. I don't know. Wise? What else? Permissible? Steve? Beneficial? Absolutely. What's that? Pride. Pride can prevent us from being expedient, right? It says all things are not expedient. Just simply those things which help us along. Those things that help us in our Christian walk and in our Christian journal, or those things that are beneficial, those things that are helpful, those things that just help us along. What are some things that should help us in our Christian walk? Or that can or should or would or being close to the Lord? How do we get close to the Lord? It's Sunday school, folks. Keep it simple. Study the Bible. Read the Bible, be in the Bible. Listen, there's no two greater ways than being closer to the Lord that keeping us or moving us further in our Christian walk than being in God's Word and spending time with Him in prayer. There's nothing that can help us more grow in our Christian walk than those two things. Now, there are other things, right? Paul tells us that faith without works is what? Or is that James? No, Tim. Faith without works is dead. Right? Being alone, you need to have more. But again, you've got to have that foundation. You've got to have those basic elements. But not all things contribute to growth in the Christian life. Not everything we do contributes to growth in the Christian life. What are some things that don't contribute to growth in the Christian life? Or can prevent us from growing? Not being in God's Word? Not praying. Let me say this. We just said faith without works is dead, being alone. In other words, faith without action, faith without doing. But let me also say this. We can serve. We can be busy about the Lord's work, and we should be. But if it's not with the right heart attitude, is that really helping us to grow? Is it really helping us in our Christian walk? Not at all. Right? So sometimes just not having the right heart in doing things can hinder our Christian walk. We need to ask ourselves these two questions. And they're good questions. If you're taking notes, write them down. If not, remember them. I won't remember them, but we need to remember these. We need to ask ourselves, will this make me love Christ more? Is it going to help my relationship with Him? We also need to ask ourselves, will this enable me to serve Christ more effectively? Is this really helping me in my Christian walk? Is this helping me grow personally? Is this helping me grow as a Christian? Will this help me just serve Him more effectively? Right? Again, we can serve Him, but maybe sometimes we serve Him doing things that we aren't ready for. Has anyone ever done that before? I'll put both hands up. Right? I have the right heart. I have the right desire. Maybe it's a lack of experience. Maybe it's a lack of maturity. Maybe it's a lack of fill in the blank. Okay? And I'm not trying to pick on those things, but we need to understand that. Will it help me serve Christ more effectively? But here's what we do need to do is we need to draw the line on anything, secondly, that enslaves. Again, verse 12, it says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient, or not all things are helpful, right? That's what we just looked at. And then it says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You see, there's wonderful freedom in Christ. As a Christian, to be saved, once we've accepted Christ as our Savior and asked Him to forgive us of our sins and come into our heart and save us, there's wonderful freedom in that. Knowing that nothing can take away my relationship, my walk with Him. That once I'm saved, I'm always saved. No man can pluck me out of the hand of God. But there are all things in my power, but I will not be overpowered. There's things that can hinder that walk. All things are permitted, but there's things that can hinder. What are some things, again, that can hinder our walk with Christ? What are some things that can enslave us, if you will? Worldly desires. What's one that's listed in Scripture that we refer to usually incorrectly? What's that? I don't have any with me. This is my wallet. What do we put in the wallet? Money. Credit cards, money, right? Money. I don't have any money with me. There's many reasons for that. But anyway, but we always say money is the root of all evil. Is that true?
No.
Why isn't it true? It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says for the love of money. And I'm not trying to change what the Word of God says when I say this, so please, 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 just listen to what I'm saying. I believe we could safely say this. If you would write this verse, and this isn't out of context, for the love of, and you can put anything in there. And if that comes in between your walk with you and the Lord, it's the root of evil. It's evil, right? Listen, that can even be ministry. I don't know if I shocked you or you're just asleep, but that can be even ministry. I've seen that happen in people's lives where they're doing and they're doing and they're doing and they're doing and they're active and they're serving. But again, going back to what we said a little bit ago, the heart isn't right. The love of anything that if it's done for the wrong reason, the wrong purpose, the wrong people, any of those things, it prevents us from our walk with Christ. It hinders our relationship with Him. We need to declare that I will not be under its power, whether it's money, whether it's a job, whether it's a serving, no matter what it is. Think of this, recreation. Recreation is lawful, but it's not to be our master. What do you think I mean by that? Recreation is lawful, but it's not to be our master. What is maybe an example of that? Whew, you're just mean. Man, we're hitting all of them today. Exactly, right? Recreation, hunting, there's nothing wrong with hunting. Now, you may disagree with that. You can talk to me tomorrow at 7 o'clock, be in my office. I won't be there, but you can be, right? But we've seen things enslave people. Now, I'm going to be mean for a moment. Now, Keith already hit on one of my favorites, but I've seen this in people's lives. They buy the new boat. They buy the camper, right? And we won't get into if they should have. We won't get into was it economically wise. We won't talk about that piece. But here's what happens. It controls them. It consumes them. Every weekend they're on the boat. Every weekend they're in the camper. Every weekend they're... And just fill in the blank. Just fill in the blank. Just fill in the blank. And it's consuming them. It's pulling them out of God's house. And listen, ultimately it's this. I'm not just beating people up because, he just wants us to be in church every Sunday. Well, I do. But it's for your good because God's command. And it's more than just being in church. It's a matter that thing becomes an idol. That thing takes our focus and our love and admiration for it and pulls us away from where God wants us to be. Recreation's lawful, but it cannot be our master. It can't consume us in that way. Here's another one. We're about to enter 2024. What is 2024? It's a what year? Election year. It's an election. It's probably other things too. It's the year of the... Is it wooden rat? I don't know. It's something weird with the... That has nothing to do with it. Anyway, it's a election year. Listen, political power is lawful, but it's not to rule us. Am I against politics? Well, I kind of am. But anyway, should we vote? Absolutely. Am I a fervent believer of that? You bet I am. I believe we should be educated about candidates. I believe we should understand those things. Why? Because we're casting a vote. We're putting our approval or our stamp on somebody. But it cannot rule us. We cannot let anything become our master. It doesn't matter if it's money, if it's stuff, if it's recreation, if it's games, if it's politics, if it's jobs, if it's family. We can't let those things rule us. Why? We're crossing that line. Next, we see we need to draw the line on anything that does not edify. Turn over to chapter 10 and look at verse 23. We need to draw the line on anything that does not edify. Look at verse 23. And he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What does edify mean? If you were going to explain, lift up, right? Lift up or build up, right? It should be an encouraging thing. It should be designed and focused towards building somebody up. But not all things build people up, do they? Not all words we say build people up. Not all things we do or actions we take build people up. Who are we to build up? If you look at the context of this verse directly, who are we supposed to build up? Who's he talking to? What's that? Believers. Let's just go to the... Each other, yeah. Let's just go to the grassroots of this, okay? The building block, the foundation stone. In this context, we are to build up other brothers and sisters in Christ. Building up the body of Christ. We need to ask ourselves this question. Will this build up others in the family of God? Whether it's something we say, whether it's something we do, whether it's some action we take, we need to ask ourselves that question. Is this building up others in the family of God? If we ask ourselves that question and the answer is no, right? Here's what we do though. We say, yes, it does. I'm going to do it. Great. We say, no, it doesn't. I won't do that. But here's what we try to do. Well, kind of. Is kind of a real answer? Is kind of a biblical answer? The answer is no. It either does or it doesn't. And if there's a question on it, then we need to err on the side of caution. And when I say by erring on the side of caution, I had a pastor teach me this one time. He said, when there's that question of caution, always take the high road. Always take the high road. What do you think he meant by that? The Word of God, right? Err on the side of caution. If there's a question, just take the high road. Is the high road always the easy road? Is the high road always the road I want to take? No. I like to send out those little jabs. I like to say those little things. I like to do those little things, but that's not what God tells us to do. And if it's not, we must leave it out of our lives. If it's crossing these lines, we need to leave it behind us. In the world we live in today, and especially in Christian, quote unquote, America, in the Christian realm, if you will, we say that this is good and we say this is bad. But so many people, and if there's an invisible line right here, you know where we like to stand? Right on the edge. I'm not in the bad, but I'm leaning that way awful hard. See, that's not what God tells us. That's not how God tells us we ought to live or who we need to be. The threefold test of all we do and say in the new year. All right, so here's the test of all we do and say. Whether you're going to make a, what do you call it? Resolution. I couldn't think of that word. Whether we're going to make a resolution or not isn't the issue, isn't the question. The question is this. This is how we just need to live our life. And if it needs a new year for you to kick that off, then so be it. But the threefold test of of all we do and say in the new year, first is, does it help me along in my Christian life? Is this going to help me grow closer to Him? That's what it means to be a Christian, right? To be a Christian, by definition, is to be like Christ. At the point of our salvation, that's when that change begins. That's when that sanctification process begins. We need to be more like Him. It's a journey. It's not one that we're going to instantly have success over. It's not one that we're going to just say, I have arrived. There's only one time we arrive. You know when that happens? When we die and enter heaven. That's when we've quote unquote arrived. And that's not because we've arrived. That's because God's put us there. But we need to ask ourselves, does it help me in my Christian life? If the answer to that is no, if the answer to that is I'm not sure, then listen, we need to take that higher road. Secondly, will it allow me to remain free or will it become my master? I believe that's a question we should ask ourselves when making any significant decision, whether it's a job decision, whether it's a financial purchase or decision, whether it's a family decision. We need to ask ourselves that question. Will it become my master? I've had people ask me for counsel on different purchases, and we'll go with purchases because sometimes it's easier just to make that correlation. And I try to bring them back to this type of a principle or this type of piece behind it. Listen, if financially you can afford it, right? If there's nothing inherently sinful about whatever this thing is, then God's word's not against it unless it becomes our master. I had a friend, this has been 20 years ago now, and he decided one day he's going to go buy a bass boat. Literally, that was the decision-making process. He went and he bought a brand new bass boat. Took a loan for the whole thing. He was able to financially pay for the loan. That is a whole other discussion, but he did. You know what he did? Every weekend it was nice. Guess where he was? He was on the water. They would go to church, but the moment church was out, they were gone. Here's the other piece to that. So physically, even if you're present, do you really think when he was in church, he was really thinking about what was being done or said? No. He was dreaming, did I have the bait? Did I remember enough, you know, water? I got to hurry up because someone's going to steal my spot. That's what we do. Right? Now, listen, if fishing isn't your thing, there's something else. One of the funniest things I always think of in this area is ice fishermen. Right? It's amazing to me, all that ice, and they always tend to be like on top of each other. You know, that's my spot. Now, if you ice fish, that's fine. Don't yell at me later. The third question is, does it build up others? Does it build up others? How am I living my life and what am I doing, the decisions I make, how is it impacting others? Am I building others up by doing this or am I just doing it because I want to do this? Yes, sir. Okay.
What if you take somebody with you? What if you get out on your boat start talking about that? What if you talk about somebody you know that does not have a personal relationship with God?
Yeah.
But used to have a place up north, and yeah, years ago I did have a boat.
Yeah.
But in doing this, are we idolizing this boat, this physical thing, even when we are praising God for it, when we are talking
right
about it that thing?
Yeah. And here's where it boils down to, Gene. It boils down to the heart, right? Hey, if you have a boat and you want to take me out, I'll go. We'll have a good time. I love going on a boat. I'm not anti-boat. I'm not anti those things. I'm not. I really am. It's this. Where is our focus? Is the love for that thing hindering your walk with the Lord? And it doesn't matter if it's a boat, if it's a car, if it's a house, if I have put myself in a situation where I have to work 75 hours a week just to keep my lifestyle up, we're idolizing that thing. And it doesn't matter what it is. It can be hunting, right? It can be, hey, I go out and I do this event or knitting or crocheting or sewing or quilting. It can be any of those things. At the same, let's just talk about the flip side though, because we haven't. All those things, we can and we should use them as a tool, right? I can use that boat as a tool because, hey, if you're on the boat with me, guess what? You're not going anywhere, are you? I got you for the next 3 hours and we're going to talk about what I want to talk about. Absolutely, we can, right? There's not a problem with it unless we allow it to become a problem, unless we allow it to get in there and interfere and if you will, it causes static in our Christian life. Because the first thing that, when static starts happening in our Christian life, guess what happens? It gets worse than static. It becomes, the relationship between Christ becomes inaudible, right? So does it build up others? So that very question kind of helps with that too, is if you have that boat, and we'll just go with boat because that's what we've been talking about, and you're using it as a tool, hey, praise God. That's excellent. When we were in Florida, we had guys that had boats. And they would offer those, so we actually did something like this. We had a wild game dinner, right? You remember a year and a half ago we did one of those here, called it a beast feast? Kind of, remember? Your sleep, coffee, get some. But we had that. And down in Florida we did those. We had 7 of them. The first year we had like 80 or 90 guys. This is a church of 1,000 people, so just understand that. And then by the year 4 or 5, we had 700 people. 90% of those people were visitors. And so some of the guys who had boats and would go out, they would do, hey, this is a free boat trip for you, free fishing trip. You know, we don't know if we're going to catch anything, but we'll go out and have a good time. And guess what? The winners of those, a lot of them were unsaved. So you use it as a tool. Here's 2 quotes, and we're going to close with these for right now. This one, first one is from John Wesley. He said this. He said, "Whatever cools my affection towards Christ is of the world. Whatever cools my affection for Christ is of the world." There's a lot of truth behind that. Here's one by J. Wilbur Chapman. He said, "Anything that dims my vision of Christ or takes away my taste for Bible study or cramps my prayer life or makes Christian work more difficult is wrong for me." Here's what they're saying. Anything that comes between me and the Lord crosses that line. Right? I started it with that question earlier on in this message what are those lines look like? Anything that hinders our walk, our relationship, our talk, our time with the Lord, anything that's crossing that line, and we ought not do it. So we'll stop there. Let's close in a word of prayer. And I'm even going to let you out a couple of minutes early. Jesus, we thank you so much for the time you've given, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity, the great discussion we've had this morning. I just pray, just blessed Father, Lord, may you just convict our hearts and lives to not allow anything to come between us and you. May nothing hinder our walk with you. And Lord, may we be always just aware and guarded about those things.